Are you ready, Kakmo?
Aba shaba na babalu.
He's an actor. A film director.
Say hello to my little friend!
A motivational speaker. A musician.
I'm the man up in this piece!
Some even say he's a no-nonsense type of guy.
King Kong ain't got shit for me!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce to some and present to others radio host Kagiso Murupi, a.k.a. Kakmo!
Mina ni Alta Sikasi, ngithanda ukuzibhomela namagenge kaSisinomsa nje sibele sishela abantu abasekhaya sama fleet. Hello nice, shaphi kunjani?
You're listening to Unleashed with Kagiso Murupi.
Every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. on cliffcentral.com. We got you. Unleashed with Kagiso Murupi.
All right, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, and it's that time of the week. Your favorite hour is here, it's Unleashed. The show is called Unleashed, and it's on cliffcentral.com from 3 p.m. till 4 p.m. with myself, Kagiso Murupi, a.k.a. Kakmo. And you know, we always just talk about most interesting issues on this show, things that you guys don't want to talk about in your relationships. And as you know, I never roll solo. I always bring a celebrity guest that's going to have a conversation with us. And, you know, so that we can find out what's you know, their opinion on this subject. But you also guys can join us and send us your voice notes. And we want to hear what you guys want to say. And the number is 078-540-4313. 078-540-4313. The show is called Unleashed, and it's on cliffcentral.com. And if you missed this show, if you missed the show, you can still catch the podcast, but we'd rather have you here live and interacting with us. So grab your friends in the office. It's free Wi-Fi, guys. You know, just use it. Just use it and you know, tune in. This will create conversations. And today's topic is really, really interesting. So just to get straight into it, you guys know that I've been married for 11 years and I've got two kids. Yes, you know, whom I love very much. But I've never had to deal with today's topic. So I'm going to have less to say about today's topic. You know, I'm going to have less to say about today's topic. But today's topic is, you know, stepchildren. You know, becoming an instant step parent or dealing with a stepchild. What's your take on it? You know, we just want to talk about how do you become a step parent? You know, and what are the dynamics and what are some of the things that are, you know, that could affect their relationship or improve their relationship? So send us your voice notes on cliffcentral.com. And the number is also 078-540-4313. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, like I said, I don't roll solo. Like, I guess you guys can just tell with the laugh. Né? You can tell with the laugh. Now, this man is, I don't know, he's a pioneer of music. He's a DJ now. He's a father. He's a presenter. He's a cyclist. Like, he's jack of all trades. He's
a full life.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. But you guys know him from the group Bongo Maffe. And you know, Mr. Sexy Man, Stone Theater is in the building.
When are we getting rid of that tag, man? Like, the years are ticking.
You're the sexy man.
Ah, Joe.
You're the sexy man.
The young guys like Lunga Chawalala, Kana, yeah. Who's the kid with Ayanda Tawete? You know, there's a whole new crop. So I saw that gym challenge, you know, for the sexy guys, but not music, not with Donald.
Yeah.
Share.
Yeah, you're like, no, exactly.
Not your grand.
Yeah. So I you know, all these things.
Uh-huh.
That I've just called you cyclist, presenter, sexy man. Yeah. You know, that's what people see in you. But is this who you say you are?
Some of it. I don't really consider myself like any... Or I don't consider it any kind of an achievement, I think, to be called Mr. Zixi. You know, yeah. It can only go so far.
Yeah. It's good genes.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So, but those other things are really things that... give me fulfillment in life, you know, when it comes to the cycling, you know, through that we've been able to affect the lives of many children in the Northwest province, and we continue to do it. You know, when it comes to my presenting, Afro Cafe has given me one of the best outlets for my Setswana and just expression, you know.
Yeah.
DJing, you know, it's given me another outlet for music without having to expend the energy, you know.
Jump on stage.
Yeah, I jump. Kids half my age, some of them are drunk in the crowd, totally giving you that substitute sign, you know, in the Sago Stadium. Yeah. You know? So, I mean, all of that, you know, I mean, it's been the gift and the curse, you know. Some of the times it means that I can't be really a master of any of the things that I try my hand at. But I think I find more fulfillment from trying my hand at different things rather than being an expert at one.
Yeah. I mean, talking about, you know, performing for those guys, someone who's drunk in that crowd and washed up like a substitute, you know, that's why. What kind of a youngster were you? Were you one of those?
No, nonsense.
Actually, the stage is gonna come out.
No. You know what? Yeah. I consider myself to have been. I was very naughty. That's one thing, because I was very curious, you know. Yeah. So my naughtiness stemmed from being curious. But I don't think I was a rude kid.
Yeah.
I think I was raised with good
values
in terms of respecting your elders and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember a conversation I had with my mom a couple of years ago, and she was saying, you know, as I grow older, I'm realizing, she's like almost 70.
Yeah.
So she's like, as I grow older, I'm realizing that being older doesn't necessarily always mean that you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you meet older people who just talk nonsense, you know. So it's that type of thing.
And you still got to find a good way to handle them.
Yeah. So, but we grew up, you know, respecting every adult, you know, that we're now, you know. So the guy next door could give you guys a hiding if he saw you misbehaving.
Yeah.
He didn't have to come and tell your mom about it. Or he could come and bring you to your mom, and then your mom hands him the belt.
Yeah.
To-
and then, yeah, I'm feeling late. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and this is the kind of place that you grew up in.
Yeah.
All right. So where did you grow up?
I grew up primarily in Mafikeng. Uh-huh. Mahikeng, you know, it's tough to say Mahikeng. How do you say Mahatown?
Yeah.
Mahatown. Mahatown. Yeah. Mahatown. Yeah. From
Mahatown.
No, you know, most of, I think, my formative years are from primary, early primary.
Yeah.
But my mother was a young divorcee. So a good part of my toddler years, I spent them on my grandmother's farm, and obviously subsequently would return every holiday, you know, to spend like a month or so there each time, or certain weekends we'd spend them at my grandma's farm. So I would say about a good 30% of my life until I was about 18, 19 when I moved to Jozi, I spent on my grandma's farm, and between that and Mafikeng.
And music.
Music, man. Music was always there.
Music was just always there. We grew up with music. Music has always been a part of us. But I mean, you know, looking at back then, Bongo Muffin, you know, yes, it's a group, but there's also individuals there. And and your music seemed to have, you know, taken, like as Stone, it's taken a different route.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I think it's interesting, you know, and you embracing like your culture. How does culture and music go together in your perspective?
Look, I really think, you know, the culture is really the reflection of the context within which we exist.
Yeah.
You know, so culture does not necessarily mean tradition.
Yeah.
You know, and culture is very current for me, you know. And so I found that when we were growing up, my grandmother was very traditional in terms of her approach to life, you know, the cooking, our way of life, being on the farm, being self-sufficient on the farm, completely off the grid.
Yeah.
And, but at the same time, she was very Christian, Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So the juxtaposition of these two cultures, you know, mm-hmm. was as I grew up, was very strange to me.
Yeah.
You know, you know, where she would use deep Setswana words and words that are considered vulgar in today's, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she taught me my paternal isthakazelo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And you would think that they would have taught me, because I grew up without my father, as my mother being a young divorcee.
Yeah.
So, you know, she told me that amuramareta letseletsele morokwa monaotha. You know, when we were the cows would have the calves.
Yeah.
You know, the first milk that the cow produces with the antibodies and everything for the calf.
Yeah.
You know, we would get some of that milk. Obviously, you let the calf suckle first.
Yes.
And then you would get some of that milk, and we knew it was khatsele. And then a few years later, you get to primary school, and you know what it is without having to look in a textbook.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think when I then fast forward to being here in Jozi and Oskido, now we're starting to record and we're trying to find ourselves in a studio.
Yeah.
And he was coaxing some of that out.
Yeah.
And I had to, like, I'm sitting there in a group. I'm with Tandi Swamazwai. Yeah. I'm with Jasid.
Yeah.
You have to step your game up.
You have
up.
To step your game up.
So
yeah.
as I looked for something more substantial to draw on.
And Speedy.
That's my boy. That's my boy. That's my boy. He really is talented. Yeah,
yes,
yeah. And, you know, that was something that was substantial. The only thing that was substantial, which was the language.
Yeah.
That I knew people in Joburg were not really dexterous with.
Yes,
you know? And
yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. So,
dexterous. What did you study?
Where did I study?
Yeah, Shabaka about dexterous.
Hey, man.
If you're in your office right now and how it's sort of dexterous thing, now is the opportunity for you to understand. Dexterous.
Yeah.
Where
I
did
mean,
you study?
Mabatuhai is a big part of my educational background.
Yeah.
At Mabatuhai, I kind of, you know, Mabatu Primary came before that. It became Koniminjin Primary, but Mabatuhai is really where they solidified who I was and in terms of how I approached information.
Yeah.
You know, there was always this thing that substantiates your answer.
Yeah.
Whatever, like from geography through English, through mathematics, you know.
Yeah.
First of all, we studied, maths was a compulsory subject.
Yeah.
If you failed maths, you failed the year. Your first language, you failed your first language, you failed the year.
I would probably still be in grade one.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mom Dukes also, she was a teacher.
Yeah.
And she, before she went to work for Radio Bob, so she also bought me books instead of toys. You know, from the time I was like 5 years old, I could read before I went to primary school.
So that's why you know words like dexterous.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, high school, we were reading the dictionary, literally reading the dictionary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Look, I wanna fly through this thing, you know, because I'm sure you've done so many interviews where people ask you where you're from, and you know, but I wanna touch more on the music, you know. What inspires your sound? Is it still that culture that we're talking about, and is it the culture that's current, or do you also still draw from, you know, the old culture into maybe this music?
I think we have to stand on the shoulders of giants and those that came before us, because just by virtue of the fact that we're here means that they did something amazing and right, you know, knowing how many things are trying to get you out there.
Yeah.
You know, from disease to accidents to criminals
to politics.
To politics. Everything is trying to get you, and the fact that we're here, you know.
Yeah.
And so for me, I draw on our history and stand on the shoulders of people like Bob Rahu, even if it's not necessarily his music, but his attitude towards the music, you know. But, you know, we still have enough that hasn't been explored, you know, from our oral traditions. A lot of my lyrics draw on those, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I will put a situation that is next to a modern situation that we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, talk about Sananapo or talk about, you know, and put Sananapo in today's context, you know.
Yeah.
you know, my name is Tebo. I'm sure somewhere, somehow, Kitoetsa in a little Tebo somewhere. Yeah. There, you know? So, I think it's really just drawing from all inspirations, modern inspirations. Mm-hmm. You know, the Skrits boys, they also have something in there that you can always glean that is quality from them. Just like jazz, man. There's crap jazz music.
Yeah.
There's crap classic music, you know?
Yeah.
There's crap Maskandi music, you know? So there's always good and bad in everything.
You've traveled a lot.
I draw from everything.
You've traveled a lot.
Yeah, man.
You've traveled.
Been around the world twice. And it was nice.
There we go. Been around the world twice. And it was nice. Yeah. So do you still enjoy traveling after traveling so much? Because I know, you know, as an artist, we normally say, you know, I don't go to clubs because, you know, we go to clubs when we work.
Yeah.
You know.
That's me.
Yeah. And so I'm saying with traveling, you've traveled so much. Do you still enjoy traveling? Do you?
I love traveling. My problem with traveling is that I get homesick after a week.
So, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I get homesick. I miss my kids. What I miss my wife. You know, I miss just my life, you know?
Yeah.
And, but it's great to see all these places in the world. I mean, and the great thing about being a musician is chances are the places out there in the world, you're probably only going to go once.
Yeah,
you know, any place like New York, London, you might go twice, thrice, four times.
Yeah.
But generally, you know, I've been to Moscow once. Vietnam once, you know. And for me, it's just it's just something that will never get old for me. You know?
And did you find yourself traveling where there are some cities that you didn't get to enjoy because you were working?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, you know, some places have been great, you know. Some places, you know, have been awesome, man. I mean, we performed one time at the Colosseum.
Yeah.
After, I think, 1,600 years, after there hadn't been anything happening. And the last performance that was there, there was a Christian in a lion's mouth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we did a big peace concert, one of Ray Charles's last concerts. You know, there were artists from Palestine and artists from Israel together there on one stage.
Nice.
And it was just awesome, you know? And some of the other people, some of the other places, Joe, it's just a real, just fuzz. I don't even know where it went.
I know
when I look at the passport that we were there.
Like, okay. And
also, I mean, you're having a time also. So some of the times you might be a little bit inebriated.
Yeah. Listen to that. Inebriated. I was inebriated. So, and look, you've just mentioned the people that you've shared stages with. Mm. You know, you've worked with international artists and local artists.
Yeah.
Who do you prefer working with? Local or international?
That's a tough one, man.
And is it easier to work with local artists or international artists?
I would say it's easier to work with the older local artists. Because they've gone through the whole ego thing. Now it's really about the art.
Yeah.
You know, they've gone through the good times, the bad times, the good times again.
Yeah.
And now they're really savoring. Like, you know, you spend, people that will tell you about the time they spent with Brahiu.
Yeah.
It's just, everybody tells you a similar, it's almost like the people that spend time with Madiba, you know?
Yes.
They tell you the similar story about how he remembers people, how Brahiu will always tell you about this amazing life that he had, you know, and still he lived long enough to enjoy his retirement properly, and because he was real with his music. And someone like Brahiu would give you a little bit of that American
look. Brahiu's international.
Brahiu's
international.
Yeah, but a lot of the older artists are like that also. Brah Hot Sticks is like that. Don Laka is like that. Tsepo Tsola, you know. I found Bo Mama a little bit more conservative, you know. But the male, you know, older artists, and then the international artists, here and there, man, here and there. But I think when you work with people here at home who have a world perspective, then you guys can still connect on the root of the art while understanding each other in terms of your global perspective.
Yeah. But is there anyone that you still hope to work with? I mean, look, you've worked with everybody.
Yo, I mean, Bongo Muffin is coming out now, you know, a couple of days ago, we signed the joint venture with Kalawa. So, you know, we'll be signing the group to this joint venture, which is Bongo Muffin Music, Kalawa, Jasmine.
Yeah.
And
we, you know, hoping to work with people like Black Coffee, man. He's doing great for South Africa out there.
Yeah.
We were one of the groups that started, you know, Rekagola the road, you know, towards the international market for a lot of South African artists in this generation.
And I like that. I like what you're saying with Rekagola.
Yeah.
You know how Rekagola is literally you didn't pave it.
Yeah.
You cleared where
you
cleared
with machetes in the jungle.
In the jungle, yeah. You were like Kunta Kinte.
Man, hey, getting cut by that sweet grass.
Yeah. Do you think that you guys are recognized for that?
Bongo. I think here and there, you know what? The fact that people have received us so well since last year, since we came back during DSTV Delicious and some of the two or three
that was
shows.
Nice. I enjoyed watching Bongo Muffin back on stage together after such a long time.
Yeah.
It's like watching Trompies on stage.
The reception was awesome.
Yeah.
And it continues to be. Every performance that we do, obviously we've also limited the amount of performances that we're doing. I'm sure since that Delicious show, we've only done maybe another four or so shows.
Yeah.
And the last one.
You guys are expensive now, because now you individual brands coming together. How expensive are you?
We are worth our price.
We're
good bang for your buck. No, I think, look, man, promoters can pay Chris Brown $1 million to come to South Africa.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if Chris Brown's appeal in across the whole of South Africa is 100 times what Bongo Muffin's appeal is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I just don't think so.
So
we, as we value ourselves, we have to value ourselves outside our stomachs.
True.
Yeah. And so, you know, it does affect the frequency of the shows that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it means that we will always deliver the quality that people expect for that amount of money.
Yeah. No doubt. All right, we are hanging out with Malume Papa Tishar Pratsepo. Stones here is in the building, and after this, we're going to go straight into talking about our topic, and we're going to hash it out with him, and I think he's the right person to actually talk about this, because he's been around the world, he's done it all, and, you know, he's good for this. So the topic is, we are talking about step parenting. Have you ever been a step parent, or have you ever been, you know, in the situation where you had to deal with a stepchild, and how did you handle it? Send us your voice notes on WhatsApp. The number is 079-540-4313, and we will definitely be back after this playing your voice notes. CliffCentral.com. Hanging out with artist, producer, Stone Siete, Bongo Muffin member, because Bongo Muffin is still alive and still alive. Kicking. And, you know, he's been in the music game for a very long time, but he's also been a father for a very long time, right?
Yep.
You've been a father for a very long time, and we want to hear about, you know, your thoughts on raising stepchildren, because that's like a big thing, you know. And these days, there's like, this is my stepson, you know? Sounds very normal. No, this is my stepson. Billing, you know, like, people would shy away from saying, this is my stepson.
Yeah.
Now, earlier on, we spoke about, you know, your mom was an early divorcee.
Yeah.
Did you have a stepfather?
Yeah. Later on in life, when I was in my late teens. That's when the relationship started.
And it's late teens.
Yeah, bro.
This is late teens.
Yeah.
And it was in when I knew and Apo, right?
Yeah. You know, I was the man of the house.
Yeah.
But as they started living together, it's just as I was leaving home, you know?
Ah.
So, you know, he used to visit, and then just as I was leaving home, they moved in together.
Yeah.
And in fact, just after I left home, they moved in together and got married a few years after that.
How was that for you?
It was cool. You know, I very quickly was rooting for my mother's happiness. You know, I wanted my mom to be happy, and I knew that if she had a partner, I knew how difficult life had been for her just to raise me alone, you know. So for me, her reward for me moving out was her finding her happiness and being with someone who could take her into her old age.
Are you a step parent?
I'm not a step parent, no.
Yeah.
I met my wife when we were 19.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we are both, she's turning 43 at the end of this year.
Yeah.
I'm turning 43 just now.
And she's pretty.
Oh, yeah.
She's pretty.
What gym are popping?
Yeah. In a treadmill. Yeah.
No, yeah. So I haven't, but I've got a child with Tandi, so my daughter Malaika.
Yes.
And obviously, you know, she's got a step parent, you know. So
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously now we're getting into your nature of step parenting. Sometimes you don't have to be a step parent yourself, but you find or you know you can have a child that will be a step child to
someone else.
To your partner's
baby mom's
yeah, it gets
partner.
It gets complicated.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? Because there's certain ways, I mean talking to you, there's a certain way that you grew up, you are traditional. Mm-hmm. And the certain values that you like to pass on to your child. Now you've got someone else who could possibly have a say in your child's life.
Yeah.
How do you handle that?
Look, you know, there could be so many reasons why people break up, and you're no longer together. Mm-hmm. But you would like, if you consider yourself a substantial person, you would like to think that your former partner has a level of choice in terms of the quality of people that they want to long term. So because there's a flip side, you know, there's your current partner who is a step parent to this this child as well. For me, my experience has been that that other parent has been a very good person. And we've been able to, and sometimes they are actually the voice of reason between me and my baby mama.
Yes.
You know? They're the ones that make sure that the child academically is doing well at school, you know, emotionally, if there's issues with that, if so many other issues that just normal parenting would entail. You know?
Now, I like what you say. You know, they would probably make sure that your child academically does well at school. Now, we know in order to get a child to academically do well at school, sometimes you need to be hard on them.
Yeah.
Now you know, kids can become manipulative, right?
Yeah.
So how does that come into play? You know, because then there's a child or daughter, you're not my dad.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where it stems from.
Yeah.
If there's a level of respect between as you guys as grown-ups, as adults, you know, and then, you know, that person also feels they feel confident to confide in you when the child takes that off-ramp.
Yeah.
And it has happened before. But what I do is back up that parent.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not going to sit and with the child while we badmouth that parent, especially
because that's a mistake that a lot of people do.
Where you're trying to get points.
For
me, Papa, how
capital?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Exactly that. So it's quite important for there to be quite a lot of mutual respect going back and forth between you guys, because that's exactly what happens. The kid, you know, sees, oh, these ones are not talking.
Yeah.
You know, when she's not getting something from one side, she goes to the other side, you know. So we've learned to deal with that, and we've sort of nipped that in the bud a while back. And, yeah, it works. I mean, there are those moments, but you have to deal with it quickly and decisively.
As parents, we are jealous beings.
Yeah.
You know we're jealous beings, right? Yeah. Like, do you think, or do you get jealous if let's say your child, you know, feels like they're getting more love from the other parent, or they are much closer, or they have things that they share, you know, or they have things that they have in common? Does that jealousy happen? And if it does it get to you?
I don't know, man. I'm Do I? No, I don't think I do.
Yeah.
I think everything stems from that mutual respect that you have. And you would hope that a person who spends that amount of time with your child develops some type of a connection with your child.
Yeah.
So that they are vested in the child's well-being. I'd be worried, I think, if that energy wasn't existing between the two of them. And for me, it gives me
it gives me, you know, peace of mind. It gives me peace of mind to know that my child is there.
Stone.
In that
thing. Is it possible for someone else to love your child 100%?
Not like you.
Yeah.
But they could have their form of love, which is
100%. Yeah.
Love, I don't think it's not a quantifiable concept or a quantifiable entity, you know. We feel it differently. We manifest it and express it differently, you know. Some people, you know, fathers who will shake your hand and say, well done. That's love, you know. They're not going to kiss you. They're not going to hug you. They're not going to tell you they love you. But you, from seeing that, you're going to know, Hora, no, this guy loves me, you know.
Let's bring economics into this thing. You know, let's bring economics into this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, together, we could be a good team.
Uh-huh.
You know, we could be a good team and there's certain things that we can afford, but separated, maybe there's certain things that we can't afford.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe you move from a Range Rover to maybe a Polo.
Yeah.
Right?
That is bad.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. Because now things have changed, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then your partner, and mostly with women, then they get lucky and then they find someone who will actually bring a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Now, there's you, you know, right there when it's holidays, when umisa hamagogo, right? Yeah, you know, especially where you grew up, umisa koko plus in hamagogo, and one of the, you know, we're going to Italy.
Yeah.
How does that come? You know,
look, I'm not dealing with that, but
yeah,
how I would deal with it, given the current circumstances that I'm under. You know, I mean, there are things because it's a smaller family on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter is the only child in that family.
Yeah.
Whereas on my side, there's another three girls. So when she comes to this house, there's four girls, you know.
Aha.
My late sister-in-law's child is also my daughter. I adopted her almost 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
And I try and show her the value of things rather than the cost of things.
Aha.
And if...
And that's the advice you'd give.
Yeah.
Rather show the child the value of things
than the cost of things.
I like that. I really like that. Yeah.
So for me, you know, they are able. They fly business class to go overseas. I could never fly them business class to go to East London.
Okay. Yeah. More. Felafa.
Yeah. Felafa. So, you know, but, you know, I think the child knows that, you know, there's my dad loves me a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
And a Rafrastan another time. And we have our own special connection compared to what she has
the other partner
in AA. All right, so we've asked you to send us your voice notes and you know, just give us your opinion on this thing. You know, there's these people who are Romelandi voice notes.
Yeah.
You know, and they just hang on. Let's just hear what you guys had to say.
Kagiso, it's Jumi
and Lucia.
Yo, we can have a good relationship, Kagiso. Umtana Korana 5. Lamtana Liana. Magno Babake. Abe. Angel. Mahambu Baba. Yesu. Ati wena umamaka. Makuta wata mamaka. Yo.
That's the thing about even a child and so on. I think they need to be taught not to label who is stepmom and who is stepdad. In that case, won't give us a right life.
Mangtenge something or anything, something alone. Mama ka apale at no yo wanaka high rat in twena ay wanaka are high but marumtala is bom nigga bega chabli.
Girl, that's when you get again manche game for the personal mama corner. I get who's been king in ngam. Like I could any again. It's a gay again. No, we can't.
No, but I feel like the justice of this is that both parents and both parties need to sit down, including the person who, the additional person who's in that. Everything. Kube amicable.
True. I understand. There's nothing called stepmom, stepdad. Bonka bo mama, bonka bo baba. And that's how it is. That's how it's going to be. I appreciate everything from both sides.
And it's about where it's not mama crying. I want a drama. Like, at the end of the day, I don't want a drama.
That's the problem. That's why you should go to make sure mama crying. I'm going to drum. Uzaba, great girl. You're going to be king on his life.
But I'm sure you can handle it if you guys act in a responsible manner, it can be handled numtwana and then stop.
This is what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Now you coming here with your mature self.
Uh-huh.
But I mean kokasi. It's a different jungle out there. It's a different way in how they handle it.
People are using the child's energy for competition, you know. Yeah. And it's very important that the mother that is out of the situation, the parent that is out of that new relationship where the step parenting occurs, needs to not put that bad energy into the child's mind, you know, and use the competition or the resentment that they still have for their ex-partner, you know, to fuel this making the other partner's life miserable. Yeah. Because you know what it does? It creates a very miserable home where the child will be maladjusted. And guess what? It's coming back to you.
It's coming back to you.
Yeah, if a child can get the courage to tell umntomdala ukuthi hey akusuma mama wena and what and know to pretend when the father's around, it says something about already what is forming psychologically in terms of the child, and later on they'll be dealing with you like that.
I met Jesus at the crossroad, ding ding ding, the two ways meet, ding ding, school concerts.
Yeah.
those are awkward school concerts, school events. How do you deal with?
I get first right of refusal. Done. If I'm not on good terms with this parent, we can all go.
Yeah.
We can all go to the
school.
Can
we all go?
Yeah, we can all go.
But it's my child.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And my question is it wrong now to say, can when we school things, can it just be me and you?
Yeah, I think
I won't bring Smakaling, don't bring Temba.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Chances are you guys, if the kid is still doing school concerts, it's a small child, which means you guys, it hasn't been long since you broke up. You know? Unless you guys, for the longest time.
People break up when people are still in tummies.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But still, there's quite a fresh thing, situation there.
Right.
It's 5 years, 6 years, 7 years old at the most.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's fair to expect that, please, let's just keep our partners. If I can't make it, you can go with the partner, you know. But and the schools must also stop calling.
Partner, yeah, guy.
Eh?
Partner, yeah.
I'm saying now if it's like my situation where this person, I've accepted them as another parent in this child's life.
Yeah, then you're okay with it.
Yeah, then I'm okay with it. But ising out here last week.
On his forehead.
Isn't that man? Because also it's important that we don't keep bringing people in and out of our children's lives.
Yeah.
You gotta make sure that person is there for the long haul. You know, in order for you to.
But I mean, when you've got deep roots, you know. Do you believe that a village can raise a child? I mean, we're talking about a tamalako next dole outrapa, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're okay with it. Now we're looking at how we were raised. Maybe sometimes, right now, there's people who are comfortable with spanking and there's people who are uncomfortable with spanking.
Mm. Look, it's a difficult one. Spanking is a special kind of punishment.
Why are you carrying it? Like your child, he spanked me.
Yeah, you know, it can create a problem. Mm-hmm. I think if you're a new person in this child's life, stay away from the spanking. Let the parent, I think, the biological parent deal with that. Rather tell the biological parent, and then let the mother be the one to decide what kind of punishment.
Yeah.
But not spanking was designed for willful disobedience. So I warn you, I give you a system of warnings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually three warnings that escalate in terms of intensity.
Yeah.
And the second one is actually the one that tells you that if you do it one more time,
I'm a deal with you.
Yeah, I'm a deal with you. And consistently with my children, I have delivered on that third warning. And guess
what?
I've delivered.
Yeah.
And guess what? Some of them, it took once, some of them twice.
Yeah.
The most was thrice, and it was with my last kid who her first say year and a half had been spent with her mother, who I believe was spoiling her at that time. You know? And you know, it took slightly longer. But today when I say something, my word is bond.
Yeah. Especially with us dads.
Yeah. My word is bond. So I don't have to do it anymore. The threat of it and knowing how it will happen. And you know what it does? That they, and I don't do it out of anger. You know, I would balance my energy before I spank my kid.
Yeah.
And give them three of the best.
Yeah.
No more, no less.
I balance my energy.
Yeah, because you know what? It's an energy thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to take out anger on a child,
because
what you have to do after all that hurt, you have to explain to them after maybe an hour or whatever, you have to explain to them what just happened.
Yeah.
Break down their behavior
and
how you got there. And or now I hate this thing. But guess what? I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
My children, Joe,
I've
never had to spank them too many more times than three times.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you break it down after that so that they understand. And when you're talking about channeling your energy. Now, when you're channeling your energy, a biological parent can channel their energy.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about they don't have to go through, let me channel myself. So rather leave it to the biological.
Leave it to the biological parent. Because the dynamics are just too messy.
Ah, man. You know, we are talking to Stone and you and I can talk the whole day. And it would really be nice if we could talk the whole day. Because the stuff that you're saying is insightful. But you're also going to play a mix for us.
Yeah.
So man, I don't want to chow into that time. Let's just talk quickly. What's next for you? I know Bongo Muffin is coming together, but you are just busy with a lot of things.
Yeah, man. You know, we are still recovering from the problems that happened at the SABC with Africa Faye still happening. It actually is recorded in this very building downstairs.
Yeah.
And of course, I've got my DJ career. I'm learning every day, you know, to get better at it. But this Bongo Muffin thing is really the big one because within that, we're going to have a docu-reality series with BET. A six-part series, and I think there are many other spin-offs coming from that.
Yeah.
We will be touring, you know, promoting our own shows because we want to do longer sets.
Yeah.
The Bear Show only allowed 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to do at least twice that.
And then there's someone there who means what it touching.
Exactly.
Last track. Yeah.
So that's primarily what we're doing this year, man. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a lot of things off of my plate so that I can concentrate on this.
All right. So where do we find you on social media?
At Stonito on Twitter, it's Stonito on Instagram, and Stonito Seate on Facebook. I think I'm about to cancel my Facebook. This Zuckerberg story. Cambridge Analytica.
I mean, Facebook owns Instagram, right?
Yeah, they do. But
so
you see,
cancel that too.
I think Facebook tends to be using up a lot of information, personal information. You know, Instagram, it seems to be a very linear thing.
Picture,
Facebook is so multidimensional.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Stone Seate and, you know, producer, musician, cyclist, presenter. You know, I wish we could talk about Ekgate Motlhala, but just to give you an idea that he goes around and, you know, he gives back to the Northwest where he's from. And
you're there. You're always there.
I'm always there. I'm always cycling with you. You know, we go around to schools and we give uniforms, but we also help people start up their own businesses, which is also great. You know, we don't just...
Big up on the circumcision campaign that you're doing as well.
Yeah, was sick on that. Listen, it's been nice hanging out with you. And my name is Kagiso Modupe, a.k.a. Kagmo. And you can catch the podcast on cliffcentral.com, and we're just gonna roll out with Stone Seater's mix.
Azangin cholo mnyo fanda nawe, amelo mshaba wonke tena kani. Azangin. Oh, CliffCentral.com.